This podcast is intended for investment professionals only.
Well, hello and welcome to LGIM Talks. My name is Matthew Kemp, Senior Investment Sales Manager at Legal & General Investment Management. And I'm delighted to be joined today by Nick Marshall, Head of Fund Solutions at Peregrine Black. Welcome, Nick.
Hi, Matt. It's a pleasure to be out and about.
Thank you, Nick. The last 18 months have certainly been challenging for all of us. But how have things been for you as a fund selector?
I think ultimately, my title is Head of Fund Solutions. So I have two hats. One is running models and trying to deliver above average returns, medium to long term. And the other one is to provide a recommended list of funds for the wider business. I've been able to do both of those, thankfully, despite COVID. There have been changes we've all had to deal with. And I think, you know, as we can lay testament to, because we're on a podcast, the introduction of Zoom and Microsoft Teams and the numerous webcasts, I think that's been in everyone's life and everyone's dealt with that. I actually didn't mind doing webcasts and using various platforms for seeing fund managers, even before COVID. So I found no major change in that. For me, it's been just as easy. Everyone is up their game, if you like. The sales side of the industry, the product specialists have been very good at keeping in touch and keeping people like me up to date with what's happening with the funds. The fund managers, dare I say, have probably had more time on their hands to do what they do best, which is fund management, and not be out and about all the time doing presentations. So it has been a difficult time, but net, I'd say it's been a win situation, actually.
It's been a very difficult time for all of us, and many companies have had their workers working from home. I think the economy is now opening up. Some clients are adopting a bit of a hybrid approach where they're sort of in 3 days in the office and 2 days at home. But how have you been doing your job from home, and what have your business been doing?
So the business I work at currently, I moved from a big institutional business to a small boutique. So it's been slightly different. Obviously, we've had all the same social distancing, hand sanitization and rules in place since COVID. I've been quite fortunate because I've been able to walk into the office, actually. So for the majority of the time, the office has been empty, or one other person. And I've been able to go in there and do some heavy research without perhaps the day-to-day distractions that one has when you have got 10 colleagues all wanting to talk about whatever's headline news. So I've enjoyed the fact that I've been able to get into the office. I don't think I would have enjoyed it quite so much on the flip side if I was stuck at home.
I'm going to sort of talk a bit about the financial markets, Nick. I mean, it's been quite busy and at times quite volatile. It's been challenging for both us on the sell side and you indeed on the buy side. And I know strategically you are a long-term investor, but have your expectations or what you look for from investments changed in, say, the past 12 months? And sort of building on that question, which strategies, asset classes or themes are you exploring more as a result of these times?
To answer the first part, are we long-term investors? Yes, our clients tend to have a medium to long-term investment horizon. That doesn't mean, for example, that even though we have a strategic asset allocation, we won't do tactical changes. In the models, I rebalance on a quarterly basis and have been known to rebalance intra-quarter as well. Obviously, COVID has thrown up a whole different dynamic, if that's the right expression, in terms of where there might be some clear winners, where there might be some standout losers. And whilst I can rely on the managers that I've got, I tend to have about 15 funds in, I've got a defensive, a cautious, a balance, and a growth mandate. And there tend to be about 15 holdings. So they're quite punchy, but I do like or tend to veer towards blended managers who can actually alter the asset allocation or the duration or the credit quality. And I'll leave that expertise in their hands because they have a huge support network to do that. So I haven't made massive changes. We have put money into the market in March 2020. We have then subsequently taken it out a quarter later. And that feels to me almost like day trading, even though it was a 3 month gap. But within that 3 months, you have the shortest bear market in history, courtesy of coronavirus and the lockdown. So we do adapt. You know, we're not Luddites. We will be dynamic in our approach. And whilst the managers have been adapting as well, there are certain areas where we've changed. And generally, we don't zero weight a sector, except for one sector at the moment. But that's been a long-term position. But we have certainly changed the asset allocation, not substantially, but noticeably over the last 18 months, shall we say.
It's interesting. I mean, when I've been out on the road speaking to clients, you know, the topics of conversation have been certainly around inflation and thematic investing as well. But looking at your business and the clients you speak to, what do you think has been the most interesting or exciting investment trend that's emerged over the last 18 months or so?
Well, I have to be a little bit careful here. It's part of our business on the other side is a called Global Block, which is a cryptocurrency division. So evidently that is a theme which is prevalent in the marketplace. Everyone's talking about it. The younger generation are seeing these stellar returns or drawdowns. And that's certainly been a hot topic. For me, it's been quite hard because there's no logical way or FCA registered way for me to invest in cryptocurrency, or Bitcoin, for example. So that's certainly been something that's been talked about within, as Matt alluded to, the thematic investing approach. Technology itself, I mean, if you look at the S&P, it's, I think it's 25% of it's now FANGs. And if you throw in some FANG-esque stocks, excuse me, you can probably get nearer to 40%. So we're quite cognizant of that. But what we didn't want in our portfolios was a one-way bet on technology, because your China fund will have a lot of tech in there as well, your S&P tracker perhaps. There are so many areas with fund of funds investing when you're buying 15 portfolios, where if you're not careful, your underlying exposure can suddenly tilt you too drastically one way or the other. But certainly technology, certainly Bitcoin, and I'm trying to think if any others have stood out recently. No, I mean, the return of value investing has been an interesting one, but that's perhaps a different topic entirely.
Yeah, there's been that value growth argument going on for quite some time. Let's chat a bit about the clients. Cast your mind back to March 2020. I remember looking at one tabloid newspaper and Armageddon was upon us. Clearly that filters through to clients. I know you're a discretionary manager, but how have your clients reacted during that time and adapted to the new normal?
I think a lot better than me. I was stuck in America in March 2020 and was panicking as everything shut down. I was going to be living with Donald Trump for the next seven months or 8 months. So there's a few panic calls trying to get back from the States. And it's just making sure you're in touch with the clients, letting them know that, you know, we didn't think it was Armageddon. We did think it was a financial opportunity, which I must stress is completely and utterly detached from the health aspect of COVID virus. When I talk about opportunities investing post-COVID or COVID recovery, that's not the same as the health aspect of it. And I think all our clients were on board with that. They've been through a couple of financial crises before, or some ups and downs, be it the global financial crisis, be it the internet dot-com boom. I can go back further if you want from a history perspective, but I certainly wasn't working in the markets in 87, Asian crisis, etc. But they've seen a few ups and downs. So I think the beauty of having an older client base in this respect was panicked, yes, but reassured as long as you're in constant contact with them.
Okay, it's interesting. I mean, from the investment management side, the asset managers, we've had to adapt to this environment, as have you. So I remember back in March, I sent an email out to my clients just to say, I'm here if you need me. You know, business carries on, I'm available, and, you know, embraced the digital technology. So a lot of meetings were held over Zoom. They were held over Teams. Going to see fund managers became obviously impossible, but people became, what I would say, more connected. You got a greater insight into people and their homes, dare I say, if you were using Zoom or Teams. But from your perspective, has this changed your expectations of needs of investment managers like us?
I think, you know, I used the word dynamic before, and that's quite important. For me, when it comes to buying a fund, if I can strip it down to the bare essentials, there are probably three tenets that I look at. One is that sort of trite question, is would I trust this person to manage my money and my client's money? That's question one. Question two is, do I understand what the fund's doing? That's of equal importance. And then question three is, do I get the information that I need? Is it readily available? Now, that doesn't have to be me being in the room with the fund manager. It doesn't have to be me being in the room with the sales or the product specialist. But what it has to be is, if I can tick all three of those boxes, then I can continue to have faith in the funds that I'm choosing. I found no drawdown, inverted commas, or no negation, or nothing's changed despite or COVID with regards to those three tenets and my ability to choose funds. And what you alluded to there, Matt, was the information flow, I think, has been brilliant. And in fact, over the last 10 years, I think the role of the sales, it's almost disingenuous to say sales, one should really say product specialist, because the knowledge base has just increased exponentially over the last 5 years or 10 years. So I've had no problem getting information from either the sales side, the product side, or indeed the availability through webcasts of said fund managers. I've never expected, for example, someone running £10 billion based in South Africa to get on a plane and fly over and come and see me on my office because I've got a small amount of AUM with that manager. I'd rather he did a Zoom call once every 3 months and spent the other sort of 2 months and 29 days or whatever it is actually researching all his stocks and making sure that, you know, my clients have got the best portfolio possible. So as long as I can get the information to plug that gap from the sales side, I'm more than happy, and I have been more than happy since COVID.
So access is key. It can be digitally, it could be, it's obviously face to face. I think, you know, I did a podcast last year with another client where we talked about what made the perfect fund manager meeting. And, you know, there's obviously the insight of body language when you're sitting opposite a fund manager and so on. But you've got quite an interesting approach when you like to see fund managers, because I know we all come in decked with a PowerPoint pack. You like to see fund managers in an informal setting. Talk me through that.
Well, I think it goes back to webcams, actually. If you have 48 minutes and then you know your Zoom call runs out, you're going to maximize that 48 minutes. The danger you can have if you have, let's say, the boardroom booked for 2 hours, is you just go off top. The management and their team can go off topic and there's lots of fun stories. But if there's 25 people in the room, without being cruel, that story's fun for them, but not relevant or pertinent for me. So I prefer the webcast approach, point one. Or point two, when I see a fund manager, I've usually done my due diligence. I usually know, the expressions are RFP documents or DDQs. I know the investment process. I know where they work, how many people are on their team. I know how they do buy side or sell side research. What I don't know is what sort of individual that person is. So that is the one area where the qualitative assessment comes in. And I tend to find I can do it informally in our office, but I don't mind doing it informally over a coffee or nipping out. I think you learn a lot more from the fund manager in an informal setting rather than a sort of formulaic type thing. So that's at odds and ends. I like the webcast approach for the reasons I stated, but I also enjoy the qualitative assessment approach of looking someone in the eye.
Let's look forward looking now. You know, what is the biggest lesson you think you've learned throughout these past 18 months? And is there a tip for our listeners that you can pass on?
I think one of the biggest things I've learned, and this goes back to the start of Corona, inverted commas, in Q1 2020, is having had the experience, fortunately, and having been through a financial crisis before, one of the things I remember in 2008 was, obviously, we were all very panicked, but not changing anything. There's that expression, I don't think I'm going to misquote it, I think it's Warren Buffett, but it's be fearful when others are greedy and greedy when others are fearful. So when I came back, or just got back from the skin of my teeth from America in, I think it was March the 19th, we were rebalancing at the end of March. But if we hadn't reinvested money back into the market then, we wouldn't have done quite as well as we did over the year. And as I said, it was the shortest bear market in history or whatever. Would I have done that if I'd just come into the market? No. So I think experience counts for a lot. And building up an investment process and how you do it, and having the experience and the courage to stick to your guns whilst not being stubborn and not adapting to change, and COVID was one of those areas we spoke about before, I think that's been invaluable. So whilst it's been an absolute disaster and a nightmare from a health perspective, it's been financially, in terms of the markets, it's actually been quite rewarding for our clients. I was joking with someone the other day, if someone had fallen asleep in May 2016 and just woken up, if you told them they'd made 70%, they'd say, well, it's been quite boring then, and it's been anything but. You've had a reality TV star in the White House, you've had Britain leaving the EU, you've had global pandemic not seen since Spanish influenza. And despite the volatility over the longer term, you still have stellar returns. Now we can discuss why that is, as we all know, it's sort of QE, etc. But had I been slightly less experienced, we probably would have panicked. If we'd raised cash at the end of Q1 2020, that would have been a disaster. So I think experience and having seen a cycle has been invaluable in getting through this one, if that makes sense.
Okay, thanks, Nick. I think my last question is a question to you. I mean, I always ask this. Is there something that I should have asked you that I haven't asked you that you wanted to cover off for our listeners?
I think the one area we mentioned before is I started out, let's say, 20 years ago. And one of the most invaluable things for me was going out and actually meeting not just fund managers, but my peer group. And that was done, as we alluded to, but that's qualitative assessment, let's call it. That was done at conferences, and those have been dying a death for a long time now. And obviously that's been exacerbated by COVID as well. I do worry for the younger generation, because whilst I love quantitative assessment, don't get me wrong, I do use it quite heavily. someone asked me, you know, what's more important, quant or qualitative assessment, what percentage? And I said, well, there isn't a number. So if you think about that, what I'm saying is the qualitative assessment is very, very important. And if you haven't got the ability to talk to your peer group and meet your peer group, I do worry that you're going to end up with a lot of just purely quant-driven analysts, which is not quite the same as the rounded package. And I hope things do get back to normality, and I hope people, you know, are able to get out there. And I think that's one of the areas that worried me quite a lot. I mean, I'm sort of old and stubborn, so I've managed to get through it and survive. But I do worry for the generation coming in that they maybe won't get the same experiences, which are very enjoyable and very, very important in sorting out the way that I manage money and chose funds for clients.
Thank you, Nick. That's very, very helpful. I think in summary, you know, society is opening up. I think conferences are happening. I know we've got some scheduled in. A hybrid approach will probably be the way forward, whereby you'll have people in attendance, but also people using remote Teams and Zooms to attend these events as well. I think the biggest lesson I learned is human beings are resilient. It's not where you do it, it's what you do. But thank you, Nick, for your time today. It's been a pleasure meeting you in person. Thank you all for listening to LGM Talks. I hope you found this podcast useful, and we'll look forward to presenting to you again soon.
Great. Thank you very much.
If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, you can leave us a rating or maybe even a review if you're feeling particularly generous on the Apple Podcast app. It really helps new listeners to find us, and we're always on the lookout for new ways we can improve. As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. This podcast should not be taken as an invitation to deal in legal and general investments. Any views expressed during this recording belong to the individuals and are based on market conditions at the time of the recording and do not reflect the views of legal and general investment management. Forward-looking statements are, by their nature, subject to significant risks and uncertainties and are based on internal forecasts and assumptions and should not be relied upon. Where individual stocks are mentioned, these do not constitute a recommendation to buy or sell any security and are for illustrative purposes only. Legal and general investment management is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more great content, check us out on Twitter, LinkedIn, and our website, lgm.com.